Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hi, everyone. I'm so glad that you joined us today. It is such a beautiful day out, and God has just made us a wonderful time that we can just enjoy Him. Today, I want to just talk to you today about how it is becoming a busy mom and the things that God just takes us through in our life. My guest today is Joan Kraft, who is a recovering busy mom and the author of Just Too Busy, Taking Your Family on a Radical Sabbatical. She is a sought-after speaker, and she writes for different publications such as Chicken Soup for the Soul or In Touch, Parent Life, and Proverbs 31 Ministry. She's been on a couple of different radio and TV shows such as Focus on the Family and Family Life Today. Joanne worked as a 911 police dispatcher where she met the love of her life, Paul, while dispatching him to a call. Lifelong Californians, the Kraft family recently said yes to God, to a God-sized adventure, and took a cross-country leap of faith. Now they live in Tennessee, raising their four children, where they happily traded in soy milk and arugula, I knew I'd say that wrong, for sweet tea and biscuits. She's a spiritual late bloomer, and she knows firsthand how God can make all things new. Her prayer is to draw hearts to God, and her passion is to help precious lives understand their worth in Jesus Christ. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's so great to be here, Cynthia. Thanks for having me.
Well, I am so excited that you're with us today, and just to hear your story and your faith, gosh, just in your introduction, there's so many things that I'm sure the journey has been fun. So let's just jump in. Tell us about that first thing that comes to your mind whenever we say your journey of faith.
That first thing that comes to mind, oh, goodness, I would say surrender. Surrender would be it for me, because being like most moms and many wives that will be as honest as I'm being right now, we want to be in control. And my walk of faith, I was raised in a traditional church as a child, and so God was introduced to me at a young age. But as far as going any deeper than that, that wasn't an option, because I just, you know, maybe a few classes here and there. But once I started really seeking Him with all my heart, and it really became a surrender. Am I going to surrender? Am I going to trust who God says He is? Am I going to trust in Jesus Christ or not? And once I let go the reins and allowed my God and Savior to do what He does best, and that is save us and lead us and guide us, boy, has it been an adventure.
I bet it has. And you're right, surrender is the key thing. So what brought you to that point where you knew that, was there anything specific or just daily life that brought you to that point where you knew that you had to give a surrendering life to Him?
Well, for me, I don't learn real easy. I'm one of those, I'm sometimes as dumb as a post when it comes to getting it. And the Lord really had to hit me upside the head a few times. And I usually share with people, when Moses was bringing his people out of, Egypt, basically, you know, he went to the Pharaoh and the Lord had, you know, the flies happened and all those different things that happened to try and get the Pharaoh to release his people. And I just remember hearing a teaching, and it so fit me that, you know, sometimes people will bend a knee to the flies in their life. Those little things that annoy them, they're going to go, hey, Lord, you know, is this real? Are you really there? Is this true? Are you real? And God does place eternity in our hearts. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, God says that. So we were created already to ask those questions. But for me, like the story of Moses, and we know up until the first, with the Passover, it took death. And for me, it took death, and it took the death of a lot of things in my life, whether it was relationships or I was married at a very young age. That ended the death of a marriage. All those things, my mom got cancer. So much happened, and that's what really caused me to bend a knee and go, Lord, if you're real, you really need to show yourself now, because I just can't do this on my own anymore.
Wow. Yes, I'm kind of like that. I kind of have to have almost hit upside the head to get it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of times I think this program is awesome, because if I could hear, if there was like a testimony television, I would watch it, because I love to hear how people came to faith, and because every story is so different and so incredible. And I remember somebody once telling me, well, my story is kind of boring because, you know, I was raised in the church and I've always known the Lord was there. And I think, oh, my goodness, I want a boring story for my kids. I think that just means you're smarter than I was, I think.
Well, you know, I used to think that. I used to think that my story was boring. I didn't rebel. I didn't go crazy on anything. So I thought my story was boring so many times, but I learned that I still had to learn things, even if it was the hard way. So my story reaches someone, and that's one thing that grabbed me about doing this show, because of hearing other stories, like you said, is an encouragement. It kind of, oh, well, mine does line up with theirs a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit more of your journey with God, okay? You've surrendered now. If you're like me, it's usually an adventure from go. Once you do that, it's like, whoosh, there we go, and here comes the adventures. Tell us a little bit about your adventures with God.
Well, with me, there truly was, before there was a building in my life, a building up in Christ, there was definitely a breaking. And once the building started happening, when I met my husband, Paul, and he was a police officer at the agency that I had worked at, and I was now a single mom with two little ones, and, of course, doing everything the wrong way, and God got my attention and went, hey, you know what, how about you follow me for a little bit? How about you let me drive the car? And after that, the Lord started making all things new in my life, and he truly did. My husband adopted our two oldest when they were very little, and we had two more children, and he just began to make all things new. My journey of faith has been one of, like, it always is astonishing for me to even be on a radio show or speak at women's conferences or MOPS groups and even be talking about Jesus, because I never thought I would. That's all I want to talk about is Jesus. Mm-hmm. I only want to talk about him, because when I see the heartache in people's lives and I see divorce and I see those things, I now know that he can breathe life into dead things. That's what he does. You know, and I wish so much, I used to think the people that just found Christ were so annoying, but you know, the truth is, I get no benefit. God doesn't, I mean, except the peace of knowing I've shared Jesus, there's no, like, spiritual chalkboard where God's marking off how many people I bring to Christ. The truth is, I love my friends and family so much, I want to talk to them about it, because the same way you'd want to share the most incredible news ever that can change their life. You know, if you knew about the best mortgage rate and company to go to, you'd share that. If you knew the cure to cancer, you'd share that with your friends. And I feel the same way, because I really believe that I know that Jesus is the answer.
Exactly. Okay, can we back up just a tad and talk about you meeting your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell
us how we met?
A little bit about how that happened, because that's just fascinating.
Oh, goodness, that's real. And I apologize if you hear a little jingling as we're talking, but there was a big thunderstorm that came over Tennessee, so I'm getting weather warnings on occasion here, and I don't know how to turn them off, so I apologize.
Well, I'm not hearing them, so that's good.
Good. So how Paul and I met, well, I was the police dispatcher, and he was the police officer at an agency that was pretty hopping busy when it came to crime and gang activity and stuff in California, in the East Bay. And we met over a homicide call, and my husband loves to mess with people the way we tell the story, but it was a homicide call on New Year's Eve, and he was the one that I dispatched to the call. And when he went you know, he took the homicide report, and he had to come in and get information from dispatch, and so that's how we met. When we just moved out here recently, and we went to our first small group meeting, and so they asked us, hey, tell us a little something that not everybody would know about you. So I stood up and I said, well, my husband and I met over a homicide call, and my husband and I sat back down, and my husband stood up, he goes, and I was acquitted. And so everybody thought, you know, I'm like, okay, no, I didn't kill anybody. He didn't kill anybody. So we have a very dark sense of humor, Cynthia. We do.
I think that's fun, though. I think it's neat that for anyone out there that is waiting for God to bring something into your life, it could be anything. And that is just a great example that God has a way of working things out and bringing his plan together. And I think that's
right.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. So you go and you speak with other women's groups and things like that. What are you finding that is the most vital thing that women are wanting to hear from you?
Oh, goodness. I'd say the first is encouragement. That's the first and foremost. They want to be encouraged. I think the other thing is they want to hear radical faith is okay. Because I think the word radical has been a bad word in some ways. Because when you say radical, unfortunately nowadays you think of either terrorists or you think of, you know, that kind of thing. But radical also means revolutionary. And Jesus Christ was radical. And I guess what I want to encourage them to do is to do the revolutionary thing, even if it seems kind of kooky, especially when they know that the Lord's guiding them to do it. And even just as far as me writing or speaking, it really is silly. Because God loves to use my weakness. I don't have an English degree. I don't have a journalism degree. Yet the Lord took writing with me and said, no, we're going to do this together. And that's kind of radical, you know, that I would be published before someone else who has a degree. Or it's radical that our family said, you know what, we're leaving California and we're going to go to Tennessee because God made it clear we're supposed to be here, and so guess what? We're going to do it. We had no job, no friends, no family out here, but we're going to make it work. And I think, so to answer your question, Cynthia, I think women want to be encouraged to live out their faith in a way that's set apart.
That's very true.
Radically.
Now, are you seeing that, I work a lot with younger girls, high school, college girls, and they want to see a real authentic faith, one that is not sugar-coated or anything like that. Are you experiencing that with the older women, too? Is that coming about where you're sensing that they're wanting to see realness even more?
Absolutely. I can't be fake. I really can't, and I have a lot of weaknesses, like many women, chocolate, sugar, but one of them is I can't be fake. So when I speak and I do share with women, I think at first they're like, oh, wow, she just said that, and then they go, wow, wait, that makes total sense, because maybe that's part of the spiritual late blooming, and also, you know what, we only have so much time. We gotta stop playing games. And we've got to be real, and we're not perfect. And I always tell women, that woman that you're looking at with the perfect marriage and the perfect kids and the perfect house, that's not real. That's not real, you know, because the only thing that's perfect is his peace. Now, if that woman has peace, right on. But if she's putting on a show, stop using her as your example.
Very good. I love the straight talk, because that's one thing that I'm having to learn with these younger girls that I've been mentoring and being around. You have to shoot it to them straight, and that is their truth.
Now, Cynthia, I'm noticing, too, because you're from the South, and I'm apparently to the Southern girls out here, I'm from the North, even though I keep trying to tell them California's West. But I do tell them they aren't some cultures, even in our country, aren't used to straight talk. They're not.
That's true. That is so true. So how do you go about that when they're not?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm pretty straight. You know, I had one gal I met for coffee one day, and I said to her, what? She said that something, you know, God had put something on her heart to do, and she hadn't done it. And I stopped and I go, why haven't you done this? Now you're disobedient. Let's be honest, you know. Let's call it what it is. And delayed obedience is disobedience. And we don't like to hear it, but it's true. And I guess how I see it, you're missing out on the blessing. So you're just delaying, I think, God's favor in whatever he has for you to learn there.
That's exactly true. That is exactly mm-hmm. true. So many times we miss those blessings because, like you said, delayed obedience. And that mm-hmm. that is disobedience. That's true.
Mm-hmm. I would say...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Finish.
Well, I was going to move on to your book, but did you have something else that you wanted to say?
No, I think we were going the same route, so go ahead.
Okay. You have written a book. You've got one that's already in publication and one that's about to come out. Am I correct?
Well, actually, we're in the process now of it being shopped around, and it's looking to be in 2014, so yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about the one that's out, Just Too Busy, Taking Your Family on a Radical Sabbatical, because we just talked about the word radical. So what does that mean?
Well, the story begins, just our family took a break. We took a year off and got rid of any outside activities that really was drawing our family away from one another. And the first few chapters of the book talk about our sabbatical from everything, how we turned off the TV and just had monthly field trips and stopped anything, like I said, I had to drive them to. So then the rest of the book, the majority of the book is really about the lessons we learned and how we learned to do devotions as a family and how we learned what it looked like to pray as a family together. All those different things, you know, how to redeem the time or, you know, all the things, the scriptures that ministered to us and how we grew, what we want our legacy to be as a mom, you know, as a wife. That's that book. And then because I have the police background and because also I was raised by a United States Marine, and my father did 3 tours in Vietnam, and two of them were voluntary. So my dad was a very hard-charging Marine, so I was his first recruit. So things came, I mean, there were definite boundaries in my home, and I have a great father, but I was kind of raised with those boundaries. And one of the things I noticed at the police department was that parents are calling even 911 for advice on parenting.
And really?
It's crazy. It really is crazy. It was to the point where the girls that I worked with would just save those calls for me because a lot of parents just really need permission to be a parent. And I think even in the Christian realm, I mean, there are some great books out there. Grace-Based Parenting is a great book. Shepherding a Child's Heart, great book. A lot of books about grace. And that, hey, Jesus is the storekeeper of grace. He is the teacher. He is the best example of it. But I think a lot of times in parenting, we're being afraid to parent, and as Christians, we're standing behind grace. Oh, I'm going to show them grace as an excuse. And sometimes we need to be that parent, you know. So the book is called The Mean Mom's Guide to Raising Great Kids, because a lot of times boundaries, even in love, look mean to our kids. But mean isn't always the mean that you think it means.
Yeah, because when I read that, when you sent it to me, and I read it, and I started laughing and saying, okay, I was a mean mom a lot because I was so mean. I would make them do this. So I love that. I love that concept, and I think that is so true because you are so right that we hide behind grace a lot of times as parents, as our country. Mm-hmm. Our culture does that, and mm-hmm. You see that because I've been told many, many times what our generation mm-hmm. tolerates, the next generation mm-hmm. accepts as the norm, and that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just keep flying that way if we don't hold them to a standard and hold them to God's word, as in parenting.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true. Well, we have about 5 more minutes or so, and I wanted to give you just some time, something that you might want to share with our listeners from your walk of faith, your journey, just to give you some time that you can encourage and some way that you can point them and get them towards the encouragement in the path that they may need to cue in on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, first I would say if they're listening to Blog Talk Radio, these girls are bloggers themselves or they're writers or they're future speakers. And what I would suggest to them is start believing God for what he's put on their hearts to do. And that isn't at the expense of their family, because sometimes it means waiting. and that's okay. Sometimes it means waiting. I was just looking at, before I came on your show, I was thinking about this, and about 7 years ago when the Lord started really putting it on my heart that you're going to write, and he gave me a verse. It's Psalm 45:1, and it's, "My heart overflows with a good thing. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." And this verse kept coming up everywhere, and I'm thinking, my heart overflows with a theme. So basically there's something I'm going to be able to speak about that I've written. And it was the weird thing, because it came years ago and over and over and over again. You know what I started doing? I opened a document, and I started saving those God moments where he gave me the verse again, and he gave me the verse again, or somebody said something, or there was something that, I don't believe in coincidence, so there was something that happened that led me down that path. And what I want to encourage these women to do, all of the women listening, is if you feel God speaking to you about something, believe him for it. And that doesn't mean you go out and you sell your house, and you, I mean, unless he tells you to. I really mean just be a plotter and plot along. Take each little step, and don't be afraid when you ask, seek, and knock. If he opens that door, you know, I tell my kids even, don't doorbell ditch God. Walk through that door, because he wants you to walk through that door. I mean, if the Lord can use me, who I have no degree, all I've done is walk through those doors he's opened. I just pray that each of these women would do the same. Just continue to walk through and be steadfast and trust and surrender. Sometimes your plan, it might be waiting till the kids are in school or until they're graduated, but don't lose the promise that he's given you.
I love that, because that is so easy, because a lot of times, well, I heard it. I thought I heard God say this, but the timing wasn't right, so maybe I was wrong. And that is
no. And I think as Americans, we want it right now, and I know I do, but I kept this document, Cynthia, and I opened it up every time, and I titled it, "Every Time You Doubt, Joanne." And I had all the dates and the things that had happened, so every time I doubted, I'd be able to read that and go, okay, Lord, I'm not going to doubt today, you know.
Oh, I love that. I love that for anyone, for us to teach our kids, for us to teach ourselves, for when I doubt, to just record them. I keep telling the people, the kids that I've worked with, just keep it written down. Keep it written where you have seen God and everything like that, for those times of when you have doubted or when you start to doubt. That is so true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Tell me what. No, go ahead.
Go ahead, because I was going to go a different route. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the other one other little thing I'd tell the women, have an accountability person. When I share at conferences, I like to say, you know, when in the book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, where Mary runs to Elizabeth and goes to her cousin when she finds out she's pregnant, you know, those two had a relationship, and I encourage women to look for a mom to mentor them. I belong to a great website called the Mom Initiative, and they're starting programs all over the country. You need an accountability person, someone to mentor you, someone can help guide you, and that's crucial. Every Mary needs an Elizabeth.
I love that, because that is so true. So many times we want to do things on our own, and we want to fly on our own, but sometimes we just need that extra person to hold us accountable, to hold us to what we set out to do, and that is true. I'm glad you mentioned the Mom Initiative and that you're a part of that. We've had a couple of other guests on that have been part of the Mom Initiative, and I think that is a wonderful site. But I also want to point them to your site of how they can look up you, how they can find you, keep in contact with you. How did they go about doing that?
Mm-hmm. That would be wonderful. I have a newsletter they can sign up for a monthly newsletter, and I would love it, because I'm really needing stories and quotes from my Mean Moms book, because I've still got some chapters to write, and I would love to quote some of the women and use their stories. If you go to joannecraft.com, and it's joannecraft.com, and then you go to the Busy Mom newsletter there, just sign up for that, and I would love that. Or Facebook, you can look me up on my author page. I would love that. And another quick website I belong to, if you have teenage girls, is called the Whatever Girls, and it's based on the Philippians 4:8 principle, whatever is noble, true, lovely, you know, dwell on these things. That's another great website, another resource for the women.
Now, is that just all one word, Whatever Girl?
Whatevergirls.com.
Okay.
Or maybe
all
it's
right.
Whatever Girl. Now I've had a forgetful moment.
Okay. And then you're also on Twitter, right? Joanne Craft.
Yes, but I'm not as good on there. I'm kind of bad on there. It's whatever. Oh. It's the whatevergirls.com.
Okay.
The whatevergirls.com.
All right. And then for your book, you have Just Too Busy, Taking Your Family on a Radical Sabbatical. And there is a leader's guide for that if you wanted to go through that with the group. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. It's on my website. And if they do it, I would love to visit with them or Skype in on their last session, whatever. I mean, I also have a speaker kit there if they want me to come out and speak to their women. I would love that, too. It would be a blessing.
Wonderful. Well, Joanne, I am so excited and thankful that you joined me today. It has just been a blessing. I think we've kind of went through a whole array of things, from disobedience to walking with God and when we're doubting. And I just thank you so much for your wisdom and your ability to come on today and talk with me.
Oh, it's been an honor and a pleasure, and I hope to meet you or any of these women who listen face-to-face one day.
Oh, me too. I tell you, one of these days, all of these radio gals are going to come in, and I'm going to just give big hugs. I was just so excited to
come,
do that.
Come out to Nashville, Cynthia. I don't have any friends here yet, so come out. Oh, I need girlfriends out here.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
you're welcome to stay with me.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you again
for
being with me. And for those of you listening, I just thank you so much for joining us today, and I think that I just invite you to go on to Joanne's website, commune with her, talk with her, give her some stories about being a mom. And I just pray that you will just continue and share your journey of faith with those around you, because you never know when your story will just be the exact thing that God needs to help glorify him. I just pray that you all have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.